Weekly conversations as a key element of a happy relationship. Introduction. The principle of the weekly couple's conversation with three questions. How did I surprise you? How did I disappoint you? What could I change about myself? A proven recommendation for a happy relationship is to have a fixed conversation once a week as a couple. In this conversation, both partners consciously take time for each other and ask themselves three specific questions. While one speaks and answers, the other listens attentively, without interruptions, without contradicting. Then the right to speak switches. This ritualized conversation creates a safe space where both can openly talk about the positives and negatives of the past week. Why a weekly conversation? Because it helps to address small things in time before they build up into bigger conflicts. Psychological studies show that couples who regularly talk openly with each other develop less resentment and fewer misunderstandings. Instead of bottling things up, you stay in constant exchange. Such regular relationship talks increase mutual appreciation and foster a deeper emotional connection. They act like a weekly reset or a checkup for the partnership. You stay up to date with what's going on inside the other person and strengthen the feeling of togetherness. The following sections take a closer look at the three questions asked in this weekly ritual. Each question serves a specific purpose for relationship quality. We explain the meaning of each question, give examples of possible answers, and show how best to deal with the answers. Finally, there are practical tips on how to anchor this weekly conversation in everyday life. Question 1. How did I surprise you last week? This first question focuses on the positive aspects of the past week. The aim is to find out from your partner which action or trait was particularly positively noticed. In short, how you were able to give the other person an unexpected joy. This question is intended to express appreciation and gratitude. Often, small loving gestures or efforts go unnoticed in everyday life. By having your partner say what surprised or pleased them, such gestures are made visible and appreciated. Meaning of the question. The meaning of this question lies in consciously highlighting the positive. In relationships, it's important not only to talk about problems, but also to show appreciation for each other. Psychological studies on couples have shown that mutual appreciation and gratitude significantly increase relationship satisfaction. When your partner mentions what positively surprised them, the other feels seen and encouraged to continue such loving acts. In addition, this introduction creates a benevolent atmosphere in the conversation. You start with a smile and good feelings, making it easier to talk about difficult topics later. A well-known rule of thumb from couple research says that happy couples have more positive than negative interactions. This first question helps to consciously focus on the positive and keep the balance in favor of the good moments. Examples of answers to question 1. Here are some examples of what a partner might answer when asked how they were surprised last week. You surprised me when you spontaneously cooked my favorite meal. I didn't expect that at all, and it made me really happy. I was surprised that you brought me flowers for no reason. That gesture was unexpected and very sweet of you. I was pleasantly surprised that you took time for an evening walk with me, even though you actually had a lot to do. You really surprised me when you tidied up the apartment while I was out. Coming home and everything was tidy, that was a great surprise for me. I found it surprising and nice that last week you asked so attentively about my tough work day and wanted to listen to me. I didn't expect that. Of course, these are just examples. Every couple and every week is different. The important thing is that the answering partner honestly states what they noticed positively. Small everyday things can also be mentioned. Often it's precisely the little gestures, like a hug at the right time or a favorite drink brought home, that have a big impact and are worth mentioning. Dealing with the answer to question 1. For the questioner, the listener at this moment, the answer to this question means first and foremost, listen and accept. Enjoy the praise or appreciation you receive. Hearing what you did well strengthens your self-esteem. The answer also provides valuable clues about what is important to your partner and how you can make them happy. For example, if it comes up that a spontaneous hug after a stressful day was a positive surprise, you can take that as inspiration for the future. Many couples experience a small aha moment with this question. You find out what actually made a positive impression on the other. Sometimes something you didn't even consider special yourself. It's important to return the appreciation. A simple thank you, I'm really glad to hear that is an appropriate response. This way, your partner also feels heard in their praise. Overall, this exchange creates a warm, positive atmosphere and strengthens both of you. You basically start the conversation on the plus side. Question 2. How did I disappoint you last week? This second question targets the negative points or disappointments of the past week. Here, your partner has the opportunity to respectfully express criticism or address hurts they have felt. It can take some courage to ask this question, because no one likes to hear that they have disappointed the other. But this openness is extremely important for a healthy relationship. The question provides a framework in which small hurts, annoyances, or unmet expectations are not swept under the rug, but can be addressed in a timely manner. Meaning of the question. The meaning of how did I disappoint you lies mainly in bringing simmering dissatisfactions to light before they grow into major resentment. In many relationships, serious problems arise because negative feelings are not communicated and build up over time. If disappointments can be expressed regularly, neither partner feels forced to bottle up frustration. Instead, you can work together to understand what went wrong and clear up misunderstandings. Research from couples therapy underscores that constructively addressing conflicts increases relationship satisfaction. Couples who sweep disagreements under the rug often develop resentments over time that can poison the relationship. In particular, unspoken disappointments can turn into contempt over time, and contempt is considered by experts to be a relationship killer. This second question thus acts as a kind of safety valve. It lets off steam before the pressure cooker explodes. The weekly opportunity to put disappointments into words prevents small annoyances from becoming major points of contention. It's important that both partners understand. Everyone makes mistakes or overlooks things. The purpose of the question is not to assign blame, but to honestly share what hurt or saddened you. This way, the other can learn from it, and you can find solutions together, or at least ask for forgiveness. Examples of answers to question 2. Here are some examples of how an answer to the disappointment question might sound. These answers are formulated in the first person by the partner who was disappointed. I was disappointed when you canceled our planned dinner on Friday. I was looking forward to it, and it felt like it wasn't important to you. I was disappointed that last week you hardly asked about my day. I would have liked more interest and attention from you. I was sad and disappointed when you forgot our meeting with my parents. That meeting was important to me, and it hurt that you apparently forgot about it. I was disappointed that you helped less with the housework than you had promised. I felt left alone with everything. I would have liked you to support me more when I was so stressed. I was disappointed that you didn't pick up on my hints and I was left alone with my stress. These statements are specific and describe concretely a situation or behavior that was disappointing. That's important because general or sweeping criticism, like "you always disappoint me," would be unhelpful and more hurtful. It's better to name specific examples, as in the examples above, and stick to your own feelings. I was disappointed when dealing with the answer to question 2. This question and its answers are probably the most sensitive part of the weekly conversation. For the one who asks and then hears the criticism, it's crucial not to get defensive. That takes practice. Our first reaction is often to justify ourselves or explain why the other is wrong in their feelings. But here, you should consciously practice restraint. While your partner describes their disappointment, the rule is, listen, don't interrupt, don't immediately contradict. Try to put yourself in their shoes. Even if you saw the situation differently, acknowledge that your partner felt hurt or disappointed. The other person's feelings are a reality that should be recognized. After listening, you can respond gently. For example, the listener can say, "Thank you for telling me. I'm sorry you felt that way." This signals that you take the feeling seriously. If an explanation is appropriate, maybe there was a misunderstanding. It should come after you've shown understanding. Important, no excuses like, "Yes, but you have to understand," at least not right away. First, your partner should feel that their disappointment has been heard and accepted. As the conversation continues, you can look ahead together. What can we do to make sure this doesn't happen again? Or, "I didn't know that hurt you so much. How can I do better next time?" Such questions show willingness to change. This turns the conversation from just pointing out mistakes to a constructive exchange that deepens understanding for each other. Often, you'll find that your partner's disappointment isn't as serious once it's been talked about. On the contrary, the disappointed partner feels relieved, and the other has learned something new about their loved one's needs. One more point. The partner expressing disappointment should try to maintain a factual, calm tone. The weekly ritual has the advantage that you're no longer speaking in the heat of the moment. The situation may have happened days ago, but with some distance. That helps you choose your words more carefully. Since both know that criticism in this setting is meant lovingly, it's easier not to take it personally as an attack. The goal is to grow together and avoid unnecessary pain in the future. Question 3. What could I change about myself for you? The third question looks to the future. It invites your partner to express wishes or needs that relate to a change in your behavior or approach. Basically, you're asking, what can I do to be a better partner for you? Or is there something you wish I would do differently? This question takes courage because you're consciously opening yourself up to criticism and suggestions for improvement. At the same time, it shows great willingness to grow in the relationship. The questioner signals, what you need is important to me, and I'm willing to change from your perspective. I'm ready to work on myself. Meaning of the question. The meaning of this third question lies in openness to personal growth and willingness to compromise within the relationship. No partnership remains stable in the long run if both stubbornly refuse to change or take each other into account. Studies in relationship research have shown that adaptability and willingness to engage with your partner are important factors for long-term satisfaction. Couples in which both are willing to occasionally leave their comfort zone and work on their own behavior usually handle challenges better. This question encourages exactly that attitude. You invite your partner to give constructive feedback and signal your willingness to change for the better. The perspective is important here. It's not about one partner bending over backwards or fundamentally changing, but about identifying small or larger adjustments that could make living together more harmonious. Often, these are behaviors or habits, not fundamental personality traits. For example, it could be about listening better, helping more with everyday tasks, being more punctual, or showing more affection, depending on what the other person is missing or finds important. The question, what could I change about myself, also expresses humility and respect. You take your partner's needs seriously and are willing to take responsibility for the quality of the relationship. Examples of answers to question 3. Possible answers to this question are formulated as wishes or requests. Here are some examples of what a partner might wish for from the other. I would like you to put your phone aside more often in the evenings when we spend time together. Then I feel more present and noticed. For me, you could try to be more punctual for our dates. When you're often late, I don't feel respected. More punctuality would mean a lot to me. It would help me if you gave me more space when I need time for myself, without taking it personally. Sometimes I just need an hour for myself, and I want you to understand that. I'd love it if you took the initiative to plan time for us more often. For example, organizing a date night or a weekend together. I sometimes miss that this initiative comes from me, and I'd like you to surprise me with it too. You could change by showing or telling me more often that you love me. Small expressions of love are important to me, and I'd like you to be a bit more generous with them. All these answers express the needs of one partner combined with a concrete request for change from the other. Note, the wording is as positive and I-centered as possible. I would like you to, instead of accusatory, you never change that. This constructive wording is important so the other can accept the request without shutting down. It helps if the person making the wish emphasizes why this change is important to them. As in the examples, then I feel more respected, then I feel more loved. This way your partner understands the reason behind the wish. Dealing with the answer to question 3. For the questioner, who hears these requests for change about themselves, it's again important to listen openly and not defensively. It can be hard at first to hear what you could do better from your partner's perspective, as it can easily bruise your ego. Still, try to sincerely put yourself in your partner's shoes. He or she shares this wish because the relationship is important and because they believe you could be even happier together. So take the wish as a sign of love, not as an attack. After all, your partner could have stayed silent and remained dissatisfied. Instead, bringing it up shows trust and hope for change. When you hear the wishes, try to respond appreciatively. For example, thank you for telling me. I didn't realize that was so important to you. Even if you think to yourself, oh dear, that's hard for me, first signal that you take the wish seriously. I'll try to work on that. You don't have to spontaneously make a promise you can't keep. If a wish is very big or unclear, you can ask for clarification. Can you give me an example of what you mean exactly? Or what would help you feel more loved? This shows willingness, but also the desire to really understand. Some wishes can't be fulfilled overnight, and you can honestly tell your partner that, but without immediately withdrawing your willingness. For example, punctuality is actually a challenge for me. I'll work on it, and maybe you can help by reminding me before we have to leave. This way, you tackle the problem together. It's also important to check feasibility and be honest. If a wish goes completely against your nature or makes you very uncomfortable, you should communicate that respectfully. Usually, a compromise can be found. For example, your partner wants more physical affection in public, but you're very shy about it. A compromise could be to increase small gestures, but within a range that still feels okay. You can talk about it. In summary, your response to this third question should show that you're willing to meet your partner halfway. This attitude greatly strengthens trust. Your partner sees, my needs are important to him, her, he, she is willing to make an effort. And even if not every wish can be fulfilled one-to-one, what counts is the seriousness with which both work on their relationship. Couples who treat each other this way develop a real team mentality over time. You see yourselves as a unit working on problems, instead of being at odds with each other. Practical tips: how to make the weekly conversation work in everyday life. One of the biggest challenges is actually implementing this every week. Everyday life is hectic. Work, kids, household, obligations. So a couple's conversation can easily fall by the wayside. To make sure the weekly ritual doesn't remain just a good intention, here are some practical tips on how to make it work organizationally. 1. Set a fixed appointment. Choose a specific day of the week and time that realistically works for both of you. For example, Sunday evening after dinner or Saturday morning over a cup of coffee. Put this appointment in your calendar. It has priority. The fixed routine helps ensure the conversation isn't constantly postponed. Many couples choose a time when the week is winding down or hasn't fully started yet, so both have a clear head. 2. Create an undisturbed atmosphere. Find a place where you can be undisturbed. Silence your phones, keep the kids occupied or asleep if needed, and create a pleasant environment. Some couples sit on the sofa, others go for a walk for the conversation. The important thing is that you both feel comfortable and can really listen. A tip: maybe start the ritual with a little netiquette, e.g., a hug or looking into each other's eyes for a moment to make it clear, now we're fully here for each other. 3. Focus on the three questions. Stick to the structure with the three questions for each partner. This clear format helps you not to digress or drift into organizational matters. Of course, other topics may come up in the conversation, but try to keep the core focus on surprise, disappointment, and wish for change. If other topics, household, finances, daily logistics, need to be discussed, you can address them before or after, or, if possible, postpone them to another time. This keeps the relationship talk emotionally focused. 4. Active listening without interruption. Agree on the rule that only one person speaks and the other listens until the speaker signals they're done. Active listening means really being present, nodding, maintaining eye contact, and not preparing your answer in parallel. The speaker shouldn't feel interrupted or judged. This rule requires discipline, but it pays off. Both feel respected and taken seriously. If it helps, you can use a symbolic speaking object, e.g., hold a certain item when speaking, to make it clear whose turn it is. 5. Ensure emotional safety. Especially when disappointments and wishes for change are discussed, it's important that no argument arises. Don't save this conversation for moments when you're already in conflict. Choose a time when you're both as relaxed as possible. If the mood does shift during the conversation, e.g., when feels attacked, remind yourselves of your shared goal, not to win or be right, but to understand each other. Stay respectful in tone and wording. If necessary, take a short break, breathe, and continue when you're calm. 6. Adjust the time frame. a weekly conversation doesn't have to last for hours. In fact, 20 to 30 minutes is often enough to calmly go through the three questions if both get to the point. Of course, you can talk longer if you both want to. The important thing is not to be under time pressure. Allow enough time and be forgiving with yourselves. If a conversation is shorter or a bit superficial one week, that's not a problem. You have another chance next week. Consistency is more important than length. A short, mindful conversation every week is more effective than a marathon talk once a quarter. 7. End on a positive note. Try to end your weekly conversation with something positive. That could be a simple thank you. Thank you for listening and being so honest. A hug or kiss. Or you combine it with a little togetherness. Some couples turn it into a date night. For example, watching a movie together, going for a walk, or eating something delicious. This links the conversation ritual with something pleasant, and both look forward to it. It also strengthens the feeling that, despite some points of criticism, you stick together and love each other in the end. 8. Stick with it and stay flexible. The first few times may feel a bit awkward. Maybe one of you is more reserved at first. Don't give up if it's bumpy. Practice makes perfect. After a few weeks, you'll find your own rhythm. And stay flexible. If one week is extremely busy, reschedule the conversation for another time that week instead of skipping it. If something really comes up, you can even have the conversation by phone if one is traveling. The main thing is to keep up the routine. That signals our relationship is so important to us that we don't leave it to chance. Conclusion: a weekly relationship conversation with the three questions, how did I surprise you? How did I disappoint you? And what could I change about myself? Is an effective tool to keep a partnership lively and happy. It fosters openness, trust, and closeness because both partners regularly exchange positive feelings as well as criticism and wishes. Small problems are discussed immediately before they become big, and beautiful experiences are shared instead of being taken for granted. Scientific findings support the effectiveness of such conversations. Couples who communicate continuously, appreciate each other, and work on themselves report higher satisfaction and stronger connection. Of course, such a ritual doesn't replace love or affection, but it nourishes them. By taking time each week to consciously focus on the relationship, you show, you are important to me. Our life together is important to me. This feeling of security and appreciation is the foundation of a happy relationship. Give it a try and be patient with yourselves. It may take some effort at first, but after a few weeks, you'll probably find yourselves looking forward to this conversation time. It will become a familiar part of your week where you recharge as a couple, stay on course, and keep finding your way back to each other. Honesty, listening, and mutual support, that's what matters. The weekly conversation provides the framework for this. It's a small investment of time that pays off in long-term relationship happiness. Good luck finding your own routine for this valuable ritual.